It's sports time!
Good evening, sports fans. We are back with the new sports time. Today we're talking about, we're going to be going through all NBA teams and analyze them. We're going to start with the first three in alphabetical order. So that is the Atlanta Hawks, the Boston Celtics, and the Brooklyn Nets. So we're going to start off with Atlanta Hawks, and I hope you guys enjoy. So right now the Hawks are 4-9, and the day I'm recording this is Wednesday, November 20th, 2019. They're 4-9. John Collins is currently injured, and the best player on this team by far is Trae Young. So I want to start by actually talking about the team as a whole. It's a very young team. They have, if John Collins at its best, if everybody develops like they should be, then this team should be really good. Because Trae Young, Cam Reddish, John Collins, DeAndre Hunter, Kevin Hunter, those are five young, really good players. Kevin Hunter, you know, I'm kind of like on and off about him, but he's shown that he can play well. For right now, they also have Jabari Parker, Alex Len, Chandler Parsons, and those are the big names, such with Vince Carter, Evan Turner, Alan Crabb. Yeah, those are probably the names you guys will put, people will most know when you talk about this team. So I want to start off by talking about Vince Carter. There's not much to say about Vince. I mean, he's just like one of the, probably the oldest player in the NBA right now. And that's really, it's all there is about Vince. Nothing new happening with them. This probably will be his last year, depending on how it goes. So let's just move on to the more interesting players like Trae Young. So Trae Young this year has been on fire. Like I mentioned earlier, he's been averaging 27 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, and 1.5 steals. Really, like, what we expected him to be doing, or maybe, like, even more than we expected him. We expected him to come out here and put up 25 points a game. He's exceeded that. He's exceeded our steal, the steal numbers he was predicted. And he's right a little bit over the assist numbers. So he's just came out and really surprised us. There's not like a ton, there's like a lot to say about him in the terms that he surprised us. I don't think that anybody saw, people saw that Trae Young was going to be good. But for me, I knew that was he a second half of the year player because of how well he did. But it's turning into just like, he finally like got like a bigger jump in the second half of the year than he did in the first half. That seems to be just his problem. The first half of the year, he didn't have enough experience last year. And now with a little bit more experience, he's really fit into the role as the Hawks' top player. But they need a second player. They need John Collins to come back. And Trae Young's assist numbers will probably be over 10 if that happens. And this year, he is shooting okay from 3, 33%, but he's shooting a pretty good 42% from the court. Especially, what's especially good about is how many shots he has to take to maintain this offense, as he's just their main player. So he needs to take more shots, which is why his percentage is going to be lower this year. Now talking about Cam Reddish. Now Cam Reddish is a rookie this year. He's 6'8". He was drafted out of Duke. This is his first year in the NBA. Really, you know, his last two games he's had 12 and 13 points. I feel like Cam Reddish is a player who's not going to do, who's going to develop in 3 years, not 1 year. Right now he's averaging seven points a game. He's shooting horribly, 27%, and he's only shooting 18% from three. 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. So it's just, I think for Cam Reddish, I think he has a lot of hope. He was the 10th pick, and I just think that he just needs time to develop, and then he can turn into that third or second player that a team needs. Great two-way on the defensive side. I feel that he can be a great two-way player, a good third option for a team. That's probably the best I think he can develop into. I don't really see him playing out as a total stud. But I think his strongest suit is defense, and he just needs to work on his offense more. And as more experience comes, he'll be better. So now talking about John Collins. John Collins is injured this season. He's not injured, actually. He's suspended 25 games. So we're really just going to have to wait and see. Because after those 25 games, if he comes back to playing how he used to be, averaging 20 points a game and running the pick and roll with Trae Young perfectly. Just to tell you, he is 6'9", and this is his second year. He's the 19th pick. And he can just keep playing as he did before he got injured. Then really the Hawks team with an improved Trae Young and some more rookies should really be good in a few years. Like 3 years, I think I could see this team being top in the East. Now moving on to DeAndre Hunter, their other pick. He was the 4th pick. And this year, you know, he's played better. He hasn't played amazing, but I still feel that, like, he'll be able. I think he's going to be a player of the year, either the second half of the year or his second year. He's going to break out, whereas Cam Reddish will be a third-year breakout, in my opinion. So this year, he's averaging 10 points a game, shooting 37%, 32% from three. 4 rebounds, 1.5 assists, and a steal per game. So really just averaging better scoring, better shooting. It's just really a debate. He is a small forward, so I feel that he is getting a lot more pressure on, because if you know now, they're guarding Trae Young, and Cam Reddish hasn't been able to shoot. The only other threat for scoring is DeAndre Hunter, so they just need to guard him. So once they get, it really all is about injuries, because I feel that once these players come back suspension, if John Collins comes back, there'll be more options. He'll be able to play his role better. I just feel that John Collins is the missing piece right now, and if he comes back to how he was playing, then this Hawks team should be very good in a few years, maybe not right now. Jabari Parker also on the Hawks, having a steady year, 17 points, 6.5 rebounds, 1.5 assists, and 1.3 steals per game. Really, Jabari, I feel that at this point, came into the league, I expect him to be much better. Like at this point, he should be an all-star. It's his fifth year in the league. But I guess Jabari Parker is more of a solid third option for a good team. And I just feel for a team like the Hawks, I don't think he fits in. I'm going to change that. I feel that he fits in. I don't know if they'll keep him though. I think that he fits in because he's only 24, but it's his fifth year in the league. So he brings more experience to the table. He's shooting 52%, and he's not going to be the player where stats show it all, but if he can lead this team in experience, then he should be good. But if he keeps jumping teams, we could definitely see him just being traded and being a team jumper. Now, moving on to Kevin Hunter, not Hunter. I don't know why I said Hunter. He is 21 years old. It is his second year. And this year, he has not been playing. He has missed 4 to 5 weeks. But when he did play, which was very little, he didn't play much. He averaged only 9 points. So it's sad to see, but he got injured. Yeah, he shot 42% and 38.6% from three. So I don't really, he's just injuries. It really, at a point, just becomes if you're injured or not. And for him, he's just injured. So hopefully he comes back. And I remember him playing so much better. I don't know why this year he maybe hasn't been as good. But I think that it's really just injuries for a lot of these teams and players. If they don't get injured, imagine the Warriors. The Warriors team would be D'Angelo Russell. The Warriors, A, would have won a title last year if Kevin Durant and Clay were still in for the entire time. And they would have be so much better now if injuries weren't a thing. Curry, Clay, D'Angelo Russell, Willie Cauley-Stein. That's not Willie Cauley-Stein can rebound. Draymond Green can play defense. Curry, D'Lo, and quiet. They're a little bit out of position, but they can shoot. So that team would be very good. Now moving on to Evan Turner, second to last. We might actually only get to the Celtics today. You know, actually, we're going to skip the rest of the Hawks. I feel that we covered the more important players. So we're going to be able to cover the Boston Celtics. Now, Boston, we'll probably go over fast because we've mentioned it a lot in our other videos. They're 11-2. They actually lost a game to the Kings. Very surprising, but, you know, things always happen. They're still 11-2. They're still amazing. They're the top team in the East. The Bucks coming back from a not very good start are 10-3. So we'll see if they'll catch up. And Celtics team, they just, as I mentioned before, if injuries weren't a thing, they would probably be, they probably wouldn't have lost that game. But due to injuries to Gordon Hayward and Enes Kanter, and Hayward was coming back. And for the games he played, he was coming back and he was playing like a star. He was playing like, maybe not like his old self, but he was averaging 19 points and 7 rebounds. So just to think that if that team wasn't injured, they would have had another good two-way player. But this is what happens with injuries, you know, you just can't determine when they're going to happen. Now you got Enes Kanter, who's come back from injury, but I don't really think, I feel like he's kind of like almost like the waiting center until Taco Fall develops, because really, like, they're not playing him that many minutes. They played him 5 minutes against the Suns. He's been averaging 7 points, 6 rebounds, but he's been hurt for a while, so I can't judge. And he's just, I definitely think he's a transition player until what's his name, Taco Fall is fully developed and it will be good. Now let's talk about the man who is probably the reason for the Celtics doing so well. Kemba Walker, or Brad Stevens, whichever one you want to know, or their GM, because whoever got the best move the Celtics made is getting Kyrie out of there. Because Kyrie is a ball-dominant point guard. And right now, he's playing for a title, but he's playing for the stats. We all know he's playing for that MVP trophy. And it's just not working. Not teams want him, but they don't want him to be. They want him not to be selfish like he's been playing. And Kemba, see, you might not see it on the stats, right? On the stats, 24 points this year. Actually, no, 25 points this year. Shooting 41%, 39 from 3. 4 rebounds, 5 assists. But here, and almost a steal and half a block per game. But here's the thing about Kemba Walker. If you want to go for a team that looks good on stats, get Kyrie Irving. But if you want a player who's going to win your team a title and work well and make your team more of a dynasty, then get Kemba Walker. What he brings to the table is a scorer who can also be a role player and who doesn't need the ball to work. I think that the Celtics, having so many young players, you kind of need the ball to get better, but don't need the ball for like the entire game. And the fact that Kyrie wasn't able to do it was the reason Jason Tatum had a rough year. So I feel that Kemba has brought this team a different, like, level of play almost, because he's brought this unselfishness. Now moving on, we have Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum this year, he has had such a bounce back year. This year, he's averaged 20 points, 7 rebounds, 2.5 assists. He's shooting 40%, and that's really good. He's just been working well, just all around. Like last year with Kyrie, he wasn't able to get the ball in his hand, and when he did, he was forced to take really hard shots because it would be Kyrie dribbles down the clock. The 3 seconds left. Jason Tatum in the corner. And then they pass it to him. So he's just, this year, he's had the opportunity to play with an unselfish point guard. And it's just been great. Really great for him. I'm very happy. Maybe most improved player of the year. Probably not, because he just got better all around. And I'm definitely think that the best choice the Celtics made was getting Kemba. Now we're going to talk about Jaylen Brown, and maybe we'll talk about two other people, Marcus Smart and Romeo Langford, and then I think we'll be done. We have Jaylen Brown, who got paid a lot of money, and it looks like he's finally starting to pay off. This year, he's averaging about 20 points per game, 19.5 points per game, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, shooting 50% and 40% from 3, averaging a steal a game. So really, just Kyrie was the problem. All right, I feel I can't emphasize this enough. If this team needed a person to guide them, Kyrie, even though he has more experience, he's not guiding them. He's taking them. He's doing it all. And he's not letting other people have the ball, which means when they finally get the ball with 3 seconds left and they don't make a corner three shot guarded by 2 centers, Kyrie's ego barks up and then he gets mad at all of them. It's just so good to see all of these young players finally developing into the role they were supposed to play to and seeing the obvious reason they didn't. A lot of people, they didn't have an answer for this. Why is Jaylen Brown, not breaking out yet? And now we have an answer, because he has, and he's playing so much better. And the reason is because there's no more Kyrie. Now moving on to Marcus Smart. I really like Marcus Smart because he's a good, I feel like him and Jason Tatum, they're going to be fighting for who's making the starting lineup a lot. But either way, whoever doesn't is sixth man. And I think it really depends on who you're playing. So if you're playing a team if you're playing a team that's great at offense, you're going to put in Marcus Smart because he's just a better defensive player in general. But if you're, playing a more even team or a team you're better than, you're going to start Jaylen Brown. 65% of the time, they're going to start Jaylen Brown. But whenever they play a team with a good offense, Marcus Smart goes in, locks down their best guard, maybe their small forward. This year, he's averaged half a block, 1.2 steals, 5 assists, 3.5 rebounds, 12 points a game, 38% shooting normally, and 37% from 3. But what doesn't come up is how he locks down the player, because not every time you lock down a player, you get a steal. So if that came up, it would be so many. We couldn't even count. Marcus Smart is just a great player. And I think it's nice that they have this on and off. I feel like he would be his best if he was a power forward. Obviously, he can't be a power forward. He doesn't have the height for it. But if Marcus Smart was taller and could play power forward, I feel like this team would be even better. Now, talking about Romeo Langford, he hasn't played a game this year. He's injured. That's it. There's nothing more to say. All right, let's move on from Romeo Langford. And our last player is Taco Fall. This year, Taco has averaged 4 points a game, 3 rebounds a game, and hasn't played a minute in the NBA. Yeah. He played 4 minutes in the NBA, actually. So I don't really know what the Celtics strategy is right here. I guess I don't even know who's their rotation. Are they starting Vincent Porter this year? I guess, yeah, he's playing 6 minutes, but still doesn't make up for all the leftover time, and those are their only 3 centers on their team. So I don't know what's going on with the Celtics for center. They're probably playing Daniel DC's there, waiting. Maybe they're playing a small ball lineup. Whatever it is, the Celtics are playing really well, and next time we'll be talking about the Nets. And I'm pretty sure the Hornets, but I might be wrong. All right, thank you guys for listening, and see you next time. Bye.